following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey there, Colin Coward, host of The Herd. As you know, I've been a big fan of Vizio TVs for years now, and today, folks, I'm excited to tell you about their new line of innovative personal computers. From the sleek all-in-one PC to the razor-thin design of the thin and light Ultrabook, Vizio has the PC industry buzzing. In fact, the Vizio Thin and Light Ultrabook was just awarded 4.5 out of 5 stars from PC World. Go to Vizio.com/computing to learn more.
Business phone systems don't have to be expensive or hard to install and maintain. CudaTel is an easy-to-use, next-generation VoIP phone system that enables seamless, high-definition voice and video communication. It's time to fire the phone guy. Because CudaTel can be deployed by your in-house or outsourced IT staff. Starting at just $1,399 with no per-user or per-feature fees, CudaTel by Barracuda Networks is powerful and affordable. Visit CudaTel.com for a free evaluation. That's CudaTel.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on what should be another great day in Nebraska before a little weather rolls in, but it's supposed to be nice by the time state cross country kids roll in for Friday's meet at the Kearney Country Club. Complete coverage here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Damon Day on this Tuesday program. Coming up, our usual talks with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. It's fall break, Damon.
It is fall
break. On campus?
It is, well, I think so.
Baseball kids are still working.
Yes, yes.
Had a little workout last week, had some scrimmages. We'll talk about that, right?
Yep, nope, not allowed to, but there was some activity going on, and then we had alumni weekend this weekend. Yeah. Had the Guy Murray Golf Tournament up at Kearney Catholic. Matt Shaner did a great job of hosting us, and it was another great event, and the weather was phenomenal, and thank you for participating as our celebrity guest.
No. I saw the celebrities. They were all out there wearing the old UNK jerseys.
Yes.
That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So. I didn't know they made them that small for Shane Jensen. I mean, that looked like that had to be like a junior high, you know, Kearney Runza in the day jersey. I mean, there's no way.
I was the baby blue ones.
Oh, awesome.
I think those are something that we need to speak with our associate athletic director Sean Fairbanks and get those approved. I have a feeling that some of those alums that were wearing those, I have a feeling that there will be a letter writing campaign to the necessary people to allow us to get some retro throwbacks, which I probably didn't do anything to not, you know, to quench that fire by any means, but it was a great weekend. And then we played our alumni game on Sunday morning, which it was kind of funny. We started at 9 a.m.
Done at 9:30.
Rolled in about 8:58, and they were ready to go. So, no, it was a good day. And then, obviously, our Central Nebraska Exposure Skills Camp up there we had Sunday was 71 kids, our largest camp ever. And you know, I just go back to the facilities. I mean, people are hearing about our facilities now and hearing what Memorial Field's all about. And again, you just can't thank all the supporters who have done that, because, like I've always said, I mean, that is a true community-based project. That is a UNK, City of Kearney, Kearney American Legion. All three of those entities have taken a tremendous amount of pride in making it one of the top baseball facilities, not only in the state. And that's what I always have to explain to people. It's not just a great one in this state. It you're going to have to drive a long way to see a Legion facility or a Division II facility of that caliber. And so just the reviews that we got from parents and everyone who hadn't seen the new turf and hadn't seen all the new things, you know, maybe had a kid a couple years ago. So just the feedback from them is awesome. So we're real excited. Got 2 weeks left to fall baseball. Then we got to make some roster decisions, but it was an exciting weekend, and the Cleveland Browns won.
We're going to get to Cleveland in a second, but I do want to ask you this. You talk about all of the work that's been done up there, and there's like phases. Are we completely done up there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. I know that Mr. McBride just slunched over in his I know he just slammed his desk, and poor Mr. Morgan from the city's like, what? But no, we're, we have some ideas for some press box renovations and some concession stand renovations and doing some things up top. And so, we got all sorts of ideas, but obviously ideas and funding. So we're nowhere near ever going to be done, but we're kind of in, I think this is the first. We're going on almost 365 days of no major projects being done. So the last major thing that we did was the renovation of the weight room, which used to be the old indoor hitting facility, and that was done last Christmas. And so we're slowly but surely, it was a good year to just kind of take a break and take inventory of what is next type of thing. So. But it has been a much quieter fall without many major projects going on.
Doug and Daddy's show, Dave and Dave joins us here. And Cleveland Browns, actually, that is the news. The new ownership took over today. They've already decided bye-bye to Holmgren. But I have to tell you, as I was watching Cleveland finish things out against Cincinnati and get the defensive pick and all things, I had to chuckle because it was one of the – every once in a while you just see a sign, no matter where it's at. Yeah, then we can get on to game day here in a minute. But the sign that was hung in the end zone, painted on an old bed sheet, it was hanging over the right there in the end zone. And, of course, the Browns had started 0-5. 11-5 begins today. the road to 11-5 begins today, and they get number one.
Oh God! You know what? You got to think if you're a Cleveland, like if you're a diehard Cleveland Browns fan, you're a resilient person. I mean, you want to talk about just lack of anything for an extraordinarily long time, and and now you know. I mean, I think Holmgren getting fired was probably one of those worst kept secrets. You know, you don't spend $1 billion and just take whatever you get with it type of thing. So I'll be interested to see which direction they go.
I'm going to be interested to see what happens in that division.
Oh, I think Baltimore's probably the best team. But now with their defense struggling the way that they are with Ray Lewis being out, now they say Suggs may be back, but.
Ray Lewis is out, and Ladarius Webb, who's leading them in interceptions the last 15 games or something like that, he's out for the season. All of a sudden, we'd seen teams running the ball on him a little bit. Just when everybody in the media or around Baltimore said, hey, Joe Flacco, he's here. He's arrived.
Right.
And you got Ray Rice, who's going to be, these running backs anymore are limited on time. You look at Cincinnati. You look at Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati's the enigma to me. They years when they're supposed to do really well, they never do. And the years that they're picked to finish, below the Browns, they end up going to the playoffs. And, I'm stunned that Marvin Lewis has been there as long as he has for all the ups and downs and trials and tribulations. I mean, at least lately for them, they haven't had the off-the-field issues, but they seem to be one of the more inconsistent teams because they were picked to go head-to-head, and I know that the record still will allow to do them. But, man, is parity alive and well in the NFL? And I haven't figured out if that's a good thing yet or a bad thing yet.
I think we're in transition. We're in that parity transition because if New England's 3-3, then you've got transition. Because let's look at the teams today. Just through 6 weeks, and New England still, everybody in that division's 3-3.
Yeah.
So you everybody knows New England. Who's going to win it? New England. New England. They'll get it figured out, just like picking the Yankees every year. But you look at the Giants are back on top of the East. The Bears are leading the North. I don't think anybody picked that. It was either Green Bay or Detroit. You got Atlanta, a perfect 6-0, and they're dominating the South. Arizona, Seattle, and San Francisco are all 4-2 in the NFC West. And then you get to the AFC. And you got two divisions where 3-3 is leading the division. There are no runaway teams right now. And with the way Atlanta has looked the last couple of weeks and the way that Houston looked on Sunday night, everybody's having a hard time picking who the best team in the NFL is.
Oh, yeah. You hear all the power rankings. And, you know, I think the NFC West, I think the 49ers will figure out a way. I think that the Cardinals are pretenders, and I think they're starting to show that. I think the Seahawks can only go with the vanilla offense with Russell Wilson for so long. So I think that definitely is going to be San Francisco. The AFC is completely up for grabs, especially like after you watched last night. You know, when you watch Manning come back, you know, I was sitting in the first half talking about how, man, I bet you they really missed Tim Tebow right about now. But, you know, and then Manning finds a way, and now who's leading that? That one's 3-3. And Norv Turner, his seat must be a little warm this morning.
Peyton Manning fan. I'm a Peyton Manning fan.
Huge Peyton Manning fan.
Of course, he did carry me to fantasy victory last night. I'd like to thank you for that. But the team that's just going to go canutso now, that I said at the beginning of the year, my bold prediction was they don't even make the playoffs, and that's the Green Bay Packers. They got hosed in Seattle, and Seattle's turned out to be a real good football team. They got away with one against New Orleans. New Orleans should have won that football game. And then say what you want about the way they destroyed Houston. But their next three games are St. Louis on the road, Jacksonville at home, Arizona at home, bye week. So they're 3-3 right now. They're going to be 6-3. And then they get into Detroit, New York, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago. I mean, this is one of those schedules where basically their whole division is still in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and I think the Packers, you know, the thing about the Packers is consistency. And when I say consistency, I mean it from the standpoint of their coaching staff. They know how to win. They've been there before. They know what's going on. And so I obviously like the Packers much more than I like the Jay Cutler-led Bears. I mean, so I don't think the Bears have a chance with Jay Cutler at the helm or Mike Tice calling the plays. I mean, when you have almost a fist fight between your offensive coordinator and your quarterback on a regular basis, then I think you're going to find them. So I think my question is, what happened to Detroit? I mean, they were the team that –
the offense thought they were good.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and I mean, just you go down the line, and then with that defense, you know, with Farley and, and Sue, and I mean, you just would think, man, Detroit had to be in the mix, and they just have come out and laid an egg their first six weekends.
They play really well in the fourth quarter. They're real good fourth quarter football team. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. John and Carney says, I don't know, Coach Day, who's more miserable, Raiders or Browns fans?
I would say Browns fans, without a doubt. I mean, the Raiders fans, they... What do they call that? They're just
weird.
I mean, it's, you know, that I think the whole Raiders things, the Raiders have at least had some sort of success. And the Raiders have bounced around between Los Angeles and Oakland. And you know what? At least Oakland fans had the A's this year. The Tribe didn't do very good for Cleveland. So I say by far it's got to be worse to be a Tribe fan, a Browns fan, than an Oakland Raiders fan.
Everything's starting to turn around in Cleveland. You got Francona coming in. You got the new leadership here of the Browns. We've forgot that LeBron James left the basketball team.
I would just like the record to state as well. I spoke with Coach Kropp the other day, who's an avid listener. And Coach Kropp said, and I'm totally in his corner on this one, he said to me he rooted for Spain because he didn't want Carmelo Anthony to win a gold medal. So he completely agreed with me.
Yeah, but Coach Kropp probably has friends from playing ball over there. He probably knew the coach.
I know, and I'm just trying to find a smidgen of someone else who I know in the basketball field who supported.
No. Tom Kropp, true American, Damon Day, 42% communist. That's all there is to it. Man. True American, part communist. You should probably play one of these friendship series overseas.
Actually, when you talk about friendship series, I would like to take you to task yesterday for your discussion on the radio that I heard about the Notre Dame call and the couple calls in baseball and whatnot. And I understand that Barack Obama is our president of the United States. And I understand that he's the leader of the free world. But I would like to explain to everybody is, Doug, the world is not fair.
No, that's right.
Always
I learn that every day.
Despite his DeBrock's promises that everything will be equal at some point in this world.
No.
It is not fair. And at the end of the day, the referee said he did not get in. And so Notre
Dame
is 6.
But he did.
That's still up for debate. You know what? If you're a Stanford fan.
Al Gore got more votes. He wasn't the president.
There you go. But
he was in.
I do have to agree with you, though, is what was the replay guy looking at? When you go back to it. And if you listen to it of all the blogging and whatnot, the whistle did blow before he ended up getting to where he needed to get to. But
I don't believe it. By the way, anytime I listen to a game anymore, I hear like a million whistles.
Yeah.
And they are not in the referee's mouth. No. So where are they coming from? But anyway, if the whistles were blowing, then the hands would be waving to blow the play dead.
Right.
And there was nobody doing that.
It was one of the, you know, I always go back. I agreed with you wholeheartedly then on Stanford's part where, you know, don't get in that situation and run certain play calling. But I'm not a football guy, so I don't know if that was the right call. I thought you'd also take more task with the BCS standings.
Well, see, I don't care because it's going to work itself out.
Okay.
It's fine to have the show and preview it and talk college football. I'm all for that. I am in the corner that, yes, I like preseason Associated Press and Coaches Poll. From the standpoint, it gives us something to talk about. And it also, if you didn't have it in the preseason, I think it would be even tougher for these non-BCS schools like in Ohio to get in there because they still, you know, the first one comes out today, they're not putting Ohio in there. They're just not going to do it. But Florida number two, it's going to be Oregon and it's going to be Alabama, and I don't know why anyone would complain about that. If there's an upset, fine, and there usually is. It usually messes things up. But if anybody in the country right now says that there is a smidgen of a non-Alabama-Oregon doubt, I mean, who else are you going to pick? I will say that the guy on CBS Sportsline has USC in the national championship game against Alabama, and I'm trying to figure out how.
Well, does that go down to the whole they beat?
Well, they still have to play Oregon. They'd have to beat Oregon twice, including in the Pac-12 championship game, to get to that point. He's also assuming, which is probably right, that K-State won't run to any of those teams that are in the top five
and
now.
And USC has to beat Notre Dame.
And they still have one loss. So his point being, and they will, but they may not. They may not. You know what? That's the thing about Notre Dame. Oklahoma and USC today aren't as good as they were on day one.
Oh no!
Of the season in everybody's mind.
When you look at what Notre Dame is being at 6-0, you look back now at where Michigan is, Michigan State is. You know, even with Stanford a little bit, they're not nearly as high. That schedule's not nearly looking as.
Maybe they could play Nebraska in a bowl game because it's the same thing. Our schedule right now looking back, that's not near as tough as we thought it was.
Yeah.
And I did give Notre Dame props yesterday. I said if they run the table, they should be in the national championship game.
I was just stunned that Florida, who's only beat one ranked team, they only beat LSU, vaults. I mean, there's such a stranglehold for the SEC, it seems like, in the BCS. And I don't know where that – I mean, I don't know if that comes from the ranking or the computer side of it or whatnot or strength. I mean, I know the SEC is the best football conference, you know, at the top half.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah,
but
I agree.
But I just wonder how, you know – Florida beat what? They've beaten one ranked team, LSU. One team has been ranked when Florida played them, and that was LSU.
Well, there are still a lot of undefeated teams in the country. Alabama, Oregon, Florida, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon State, Mississippi State, Louisville, Rutgers, Cincinnati, Ohio are all undefeated teams that are in the top 25. Does Ohio State have a chance to win the Associated Press National Championship?
No. I don't believe so. Even if they do go undefeated, the Big Ten was not strong enough this year to warrant that type of, in my opinion, in that type of overthrow. People who played at a bowl game, played at a higher level. Ohio State's not going to have that type of schedule by the time it's said and done.
Well, we got some emails to get to here. And don't forget to vote on our poll question of the day. We have it every day and through the weekend at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question today is, what was more true about last night's Monday Night Football game? The Broncos won it or the Chargers lost it? I'm voting Broncos won it. Peyton Manning won it. The defense won it.
Peyton Manning.
I mean, Chargers had a couple of bad bounces. I'm going to go Broncos won it. Vote at ESPNSuperStation.com. Yesterday's poll question, which of these was the biggest college football story of the weekend? 59% of you said Texas Tech's upset of West Virginia. 24% said the controversial call in the Notre Dame game. And then Oklahoma routing Texas and LSU beating South Carolina. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Tony Harper, Hastings College football coach, Daryl Morris, UNK football coach after this.
Coming to a burger town near you, it's the Chubbinator, featuring greasy patty and fatty fries, co-starring sluggishness, fatigue, and introducing involuntary perspiration. It's the new fall gut buster, rated no good for all.
With greasy fast food, what are you really getting? Instead, try the new Subway Tuscan Chicken Melt, temptingly tasty and surprisingly low fat. Subway, eat fresh.
Fat content refers to regular 6-inch subs on white or non-grain wheat bread prepared to standard formula. Visit subway.com for full nutritional information, limited time only.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Okay, your 5% cash back program is a total hole-in-one. You guys are putting on a clinic. What's the new category?
Yeah, we're hitting on all cylinders. And only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online. It's like a cash back grand slam.
Whoa, time out. 5% on online shopping?
Yep.
That's a game changer.
Bullseye. Everywhere you shop online.
That's right in my wheelhouse. Sign me up.
Only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cash back on up to $1,500 in purchases online and at department stores.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jersey's in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Two nights of high school football. This Thursday and Friday, we bring you live action right here on PlatteRiverPreps.com. Thursday on ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic is at Gothenburg. On 1230 KHAS, St. Cecilia is at Thayer Central. Lawrence Nelson is at Amherst on Classic Hits 98.9, and Ravenna's at Donovan Trumbull on The Breeze 94.5. Friday on Classic Hits 98.9, Central City's at Gibbon. Adam Central's at St. Paul on ESPN 1550. And Hastings is at Holdridge Friday night on 1230 KHAS.
Sunshine develops today as we climb up to about 80 for a high as winds out of the west-northwest stay at around 10 to 15. For tonight, we'll see developing cloudiness and a slight chance for a shower late with a low at 48. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 64.
Trap all day, play all night. This is the life of a, the life of a. Hey. Go get a, hey. Go get a, hey. Go get a.
Yeah. Well, I feel better because Mike Greenberg was talking about Nebraska Northwestern on the show today. Golic's making fun of him. Here's the deal. In case you missed it today, Northwestern hasn't been playing good in 2:30 games. 2:30 kickoff games. Afternoon games.
I heard this.
And so Coach Fitzgerald asked the team, guys, what's the deal? Well, apparently they practice in the morning at Northwestern.
Yes.
Unlike the Huskers, who go late afternoon after classes, they practice before classes. They arrive at the facilities just before 7, go through some meetings, and then go to class or go to practice. And then at whatever time they go to class, like noon is kind of what I got the deal out of it. And then before going back for later meetings or whatever they do, it's nap time. It's relaxation time. 2:30-ish is nap time for Northwestern. So here is what Coach Fitzgerald said. He goes, I can't believe I'm getting paid to schedule nap time. But this Saturday for the game, They get up. They go through their routine. They eat. And then there is a scheduled downtime, break time, around noon so that the kids can relax or the men of the gridiron can take a nap. And then they will get after it about 1, 1:30, and be ready for Nebraska. So let's hope the Huskers get out to a quick start on Saturday. Do you schedule nap time for your young men?
No. No.
You wish you could?
No. No.
Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College, joins us as he does every Tuesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You got any crazy stuff like that you have to deal with, Coach?
No, but I'm going to start scheduling nap time for myself because I'm getting too old if we keep playing these close games, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, the Broncos now up to number 14 in the country because they keep winning and other teams don't, and they move up with a 20-17 win at Midland. You said that this is where the grind was going to start, and wow, the offense was a little stagnant, and the fourth quarter was very exciting for your offense and your defense making a couple of big stops. What was bigger, the defensive stops, because this may have been a better football game by then than even the week before, or the offense finally finding a way?
You know, I think it was both of them, because we hadn't, going into the fourth quarter, been behind at any point in time going into that game. And for us to get the ball down on, I think it was the 20 or the 18-yard line, and for our offense just to methodically go down the line, you know, put play after play together to finally get us in the end zone, and then to convert a two-point conversion, and then for the defense to come out and get a couple stops. One was on a fourth down, big play by Braulio Castillo. I think it's both phases. I mean, it was huge. It was a major step forward for this program, for these kids, and it was good for all of us.
Coach, your defense you've had some concerns about the defense. Can you talk a little bit about how they stepped up for you on Saturday?
You know, I still got concerns. First off, I'll say that. But, you know, I think what they did, and they first half we were playing really slow. We were trying to read the backs and let the linemen get up to us, and then we thought we'd go make the play. Where in the second half, what Coach Davis did, you know, he told those guys at halftime, fellas, stop trying to process everything and go. Even if you're wrong, if you're going faster than the other guy is trying to block you, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to create a speed bump. And that's exactly what kind of started happening in that second half. You know, Quincy Johnson, he stopped playing slow and he started playing fast. Braulio Castillo with that huge stop on the fourth down, he just bold rushed in there and beat the guard to the point of attack. And that's what we have to have. And, you know, Kane Ellenberg at free safety is playing best that he's ever played. He's getting off that roof fast. He's reading his keys and he's just going. And that's what we need to keep doing, especially with who we're playing this weekend.
Talking with Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College. They remain undefeated as they get ready for the nationally ranked teams that are still to come on their schedule. This probably isn't brought up very often, but it looked like you guys were able to flip the field in position, field position-wise, with some outstanding punting. You guys were nearly 50 yards a punt to their 34.
You know, and that's a credit to Jordan Brown, our special teams coordinator, who obviously we made him wear his gold medal all last week, so we're making him do it again this week. But he's done a great job working with our special teams. He's got Kenny punting really well. I mean, he had an 82-yard punt, and the wind wasn't blowing that hard. Kenny just got a hold of it, and we did a great job going down and covering it. And that's huge. Anytime you can, from a defensive standpoint, if we hold somebody on offense and then, you know, we're thinking, okay, the offense is going to get the ball back on worst-case scenario, the 50-yard line, and then he unloads that punt, and they have to go all the way back to the 20 or the 25. That's a big momentum shift. And that's what Kenny's brought to the table with us this year, and Coach Brown's doing a good job with that, and it allowed our defense to not have their backs against the wall so early in the drive, and it's just a confidence builder for us.
Well, 82 yards is going to help your average out. There's no doubt about it. I'm interested, Tony, what was the ride home like? Because you got the big win, you got the come-from-behind win, and yet the kids are going to know what's ahead of them. Well, what was the ride home like Saturday?
You know, it was very unique. I've been here for a while, and we've been fortunate enough to win some games and have some good ride home. But usually after a big game like that and a big come-from-behind win, you know, you got the guys celebrating and talking really loud. We get on the bus, we pull out of Fremont, and the guys, they're talking, but they're not overjoyed. It's almost like they expected to make plays and be successful and to win that football game. And that means, I think, we're going in the right direction as a program. But our guys, you know, they got that 24-hour rule. They enjoyed it, but they weren't overboard on it. They understand what's ahead of us, and right now we're focused on that task.
You talk about what's ahead of you. Number four Morningside.
Scrimmage.
you said that, not me.
You got a scrimmage Saturday.
Probably, obviously, your biggest game of the year. What's Morningside going to bring to Hastings?
You know, I could sit here and tell you and give you this coach speak that it's the biggest game because it's the next one that we play. But let's not kid ourselves. We're playing the number four ranked team in the nation, deservedly so. They are a great football team. What they do defensively is they just challenge people. You know, they just come after you and they physically hit you and they just challenge you. I dare you to try and make a completion, or I dare you to try and run the football. Offensively, you know, they got an athletic quarterback that he's just going to basically dare you to stop him as well. You know, they're going to hand the football off to two very good tailbacks. Special teams for them is very aggressive. They are solid in all three phases. The thing that they have that we got to get to is they just challenge people. And they're going to walk off that bus expecting to win, and we're going to do our best to come in and compete with them and take one snap at a time and just compete back with them.
Joel Nixon is the quarterback at Morningside. He's coming off a great performance. In fact, named the NAIA National Player of the Week on offense. A little more on him, Coach. What makes him so good?
He's an athlete. I think he's been the National Player of the Week every other week, it seems like, offensively. the thing that Joel does is, you know, he was a former receiver for him, and he was an all-conference receiver, so you know he's athletic and can run and can stretch the field vertically. But the thing, he was a quarterback at Wakefield. The thing that he brings to the table is nobody can corral him. You get pressure on him, he's going to escape the pressure. He's going to roll to his right and just find somebody because their receivers do a great job on scramble drill. And he's going to put that ball where either his guy can catch it or nobody can catch it. He's the truest sense of a gunslinger. I'm going to move around. You can't tackle me, and I'm just going to beat you with my arm and my legs. He's a heck of a football player.
Well, the scary part is you can talk all about the offense that you want and what he's able to do, but they've played four rated teams already. They've rolled them all, and their defense has only allowed 10 points one time.
Mm-hmm. And you know where it all starts? It starts that secondary is, in our opinion, if not the best, the number two in the entire nation. I mean, they got the Henderson kid at corner. He is all over the place. He is aggressive. He's going to challenge every single ball we throw. They got a free safety, go forth. He's a physical guy. They get after you in the back end. They got linebackers that will get downhill and pop you in the mouth in the Roberg and the Elliott guy. And then outside linebackers, they play like defensive linemen. I mean, they pop and they're physical. So they are one of the, if not the best defense in the nation. They're number two. They're darn good.
Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Saturday's game, get out there, support the Broncos. If there's no doubt about it that you're going to be viewed as the big-time underdog here, but if you play your best game of the year, this is a chance to be conference champions. This has got everything on the line for you.
You know, when we've talked to the guys a lot, you know, this is a huge game for us. Number one, you know, it's the number four team ranked in the nation. It is an opportunity for us to kind of reinvent ourselves and get Hastings College back on the map, and this is a huge game, you know, and we're not going to talk, you know, there's a lot of games after this game and all that good stuff, but we are focused on this game. Morningside's a great opponent, and we're just looking for the challenge and to see how our kids respond.
All right, Tony, big challenge. I'll let you get back to work, and we'll chat with you again next week. Best of luck.
Thank you all.
Tony Harper joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day. I don't want to even look at this game on paper, because it doesn't play out well for Hastings College.
That's why they play the game.
That's exactly,
you know, but,
right.
I mean, I think that would be – that's going to be – I mean, Coach Harper's put themselves in a great position. I mean, and now you just go out and play and see what you can do. And that's – from a coaching standpoint, I'm sure he does a very good job of downplaying and saying what needs to be said. But, you know, I'm sure he's way jacked. I mean, I'm sure he is through the roof excited to go see how good his team can do.
Don't worry about them. Worry about us. You do what you got to do. You worry about yourself. We're going to see how good football team we are here today. We ain't playing for the national championship today. We're playing Morningside. We're playing a football game. And then Tony Harper lets them loose.
Yeah. And I think as a coach, you love those opportunities. I mean, you love going up against when you are the underdog because you can see what your kids can do. You can see if they can rise up. You can see, you know, I always say is that I'd rather be Coach Harper right now than the guy at Morningside. even though I know I'm supposed to beat him, being the hunted is always a more precarious position from a coaching standpoint, in my opinion.
Got to get to some email. Good Lord. But we also have head coach at UNK, Daryl Moore, is going to join us. All of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at BK, Burger King, two locations in Kearney. Also Lexington, Cozad, North Platte. Stop by this afternoon, grab a fruit smoothie or something cool to drink at BK. We'll be back with more after this.
Hi, football fans. I think you'll agree that you've got to have great seats. And now it's even easier to pick the seats you want wherever you are thanks to StubHub's new mobile seat maps. They're the only interactive seat maps that let you search for NFL tickets by section and actually see the view from your seat, all from your mobile phone. How cool is that? So whether you're searching StubHub on your computer or your phone, it's easy to find the seats you want. Yet another reason thousands of fans use StubHub for their NFL tickets every Sunday.
StubHub! This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops today as we climb up to about 80 for a high as winds out of the west-northwest stayed around 10 to 15. For tonight, we'll see developing cloudiness and a slight chance for a shower late with a low at 48. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 64.
And I never thought I'd doubt you. I'm better off without you.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Trent fires off. Jake Spitzelberger just scored again. How many touchdowns did he have? Nearly 100? I think Nebraska needs that offense, Trent. I don't know if they got that offense, Trent. He's giving props to Jake Spitzelberger and taking a shot at the Huskers. It's not fair. Did you see this? Spitzelberger, the do-everything quarterback at UNK, and good quarterback, and I'm not going to make fun of the picks that he threw last year in a couple of big games because that just happens. But Spitz, we had him on before he went over to Germany, and he had a great year with the Schwäbisch Hall Unicorns as they beat the Kiel Baltic Hurricanes in the 34th annual German Bowl in Berlin this weekend in front of about 11,000 fans that went, "Free beer! Free beer! What's going on? What's going on down there? Why not they kick ball more?" 56-53 is the final score. In this game, Spitzelberger was average. 480 yards, four touchdowns, and he ran for two more. Their team went 14-2, and I'm serious when I say maybe outside of the yardage, that was average for him. Why? Because he played 15 of those 16 games, had to sit out one because of injury. And he threw 52 touchdown passes. Oh, by the way, he ran for 35 more. 87 touchdowns for Spitz in 15 games. That's 3 point something per game.
That's impressive.
He told us, we were told that they brought him over there to be one of their superstars.
I think he delivered.
Good Lord.
Have you ever been to Germany?
Only via the internet.
I was in Germany for the World Cup game versus Brazil in Frankfurt. I was over there for a baseball tournament. But
how'd that go?
The baseball tournament?
Yeah. What was cooler?
I've never seen anything like it in my entire... I'm not a big crowd guy. I don't like being in crowds. I've never seen anything like that. And you want to talk about fanatic, maniacal. Every person in the town was in the center of town watching this soccer game. It was crazy.
They do it different, don't they?
Yes, it wasn't a tailgate.
Husker psycho to the next...
It makes college game day. It makes colleges tailgating around the country look just like a family picnic compared to this stuff.
You know, we were talking signs earlier, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but there's one going around on the internet now. You know how every once in a while a sign pops up behind Corso or Herb Street or Fowler on game day, and then the TV crew's finding out, how do we get the sign out of there, or how do we make sure that we don't show that area again? You know how they take out ABC and then they'll spell words out of it, or they'll take CBS and they'll spell words out of it? Well, they took ESPN right down the middle. E is in this word. In fact, let's just spell. P is in this word. E is in this word. N is in this word. And S is in this word. And it just said the same word four times with ESPN right down the middle. I'll let you figure it out for yourself if you don't get it by now. And it went to great lengths. It was like all... professionally made, and some college student.
Clever.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were at Notre Dame this weekend, right?
I'm not sure that the sign was from this week, okay. Though. The one thing I saw, and I'm almost positive that there was a Creighton Blue Jays flag at the game, prominently displayed on almost every camera angle. And I know people that live for Creighton basketball and Notre Dame football. Most of them live in Greeley or Omaha. I would about bet you that one of those people, I'd about bet you I probably at least know of who this group of people would be that would be at that Notre Dame game with a Creighton Blue Jay flag, because they don't have football at Creighton, in case you didn't know that. Mark says about the not being fair, life isn't fair. Coach Day, I know your kids are still a little, but wait until you try to explain that not fair to one of your teenage kids when they think they don't have a nicer phone as his other friends or her friends.
Touche. Well put. We've gotten that with Batman books already, so I can't imagine what phones are going to be like.
Oh, no. Sonny says, and Daryl Moore is going to join us here in a minute. Sonny says, with the Red Sox imploding and the fact that the NHL is in a lockout, forgetting that Tim Thomas has gone off the deep end, New England sports fans need the Pats to step it up a bit, or there will be some serious upstarts of psychological clinics. Just my two cents from Sonny. Says Go Stars.
I would love to hear him read that in a Boston accent. Boston accents is one of them.
You like that?
I think it's hilarious.
No, well, maybe the troop. I do not, and I like listening to Van Pelt and Russillo. I don't like when they go into their fake Boston accent because it's too long for
yeah.
me. It carries on too yeah. long.
But I do like talking to people from the greater Massachusetts area. They're kind of funny.
UNK football coach Daryl Moore is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready for a early morning contest on Saturday, a 11 a.m. kickoff as they welcome in Southwest Baptist. And again, everything's new. We learn about these teams, and we'll chat about them in a little bit. But, Coach, all kinds of things to talk about from Saturday. Unfortunately, just maybe a yard or two from talking about our first victory, but definitely a day full of firsts and different things.
Yeah, it was an interesting Saturday. Obviously, you know, as people probably know, our game was rain delayed for about 3.5 hours. Lincoln University's stadium is not well equipped with lighting. They were having some problems with some of the lighting, so we moved about a quarter of a mile over to a high school, Jefferson City High School, and finished playing the game the second half there. Warmed up, got knocked off the field again by some more thunder and lightning, and waited another half hour before we actually resumed play.
Since it's been a weird season anyway, how did this affect the team?
Well, you know, obviously it probably didn't have a great effect on us, but, hey, you know, they had to do the same thing. They waited around in their locker room right down the hallway from where we were, so all things equal, they just handled the change better than we did, evidently.
Well, I think everybody's taking snaps at quarterback except maybe an offensive lineman or a center, but Justin Drudik is the latest. It looked like he had a good game. I don't know what you expect out of a sixth quarterback of the season. Obviously, the picks were a big determination on how this game went, but you put a kid in there, he still tosses it 37 times, and your thoughts overall on his play?
Well, you know, he did throw three interceptions, and one of them really quite unfortunate, you know, for him at the very end of the game. But we felt like he played very, very well, actually, to put him in those kind of circumstances and have him throw for almost 300 yards. He ran 25 yards for a touchdown on a sprint option and managed the game very well. And the thing that I was most impressed with, and you might can see this on film, but he stood in the pocket and took a couple shots right in the mouth while he was delivering the football and making very good throws on target. So he was actually our offensive player of the game. We were very proud of him, and we're happy to have him.
A couple of those picks were in the red zone. Also, a couple of times couldn't convert a fourth down. Can you take me through those plays?
Well, the first interception he threw, just the ball just kind of got away from him, you know, and he overthrew it, and safety picked it off behind the intended receiver. The next one was, again, just an errant throw on his part. A little bit of a contested call, but the receiver got knocked down early, and then he threw the ball where he thought the receiver was going to be, and it just went to an opposing player. And then the last one, we had a taller wide out on a shorter defensive back, and it was probably his, you know, poorest throw of the day, really. He just underthrew it and didn't allow our taller receiver to take advantage of his height and jump an ability, and the shorter kid was underneath and was able to make the interception. So, to even get us in that position, we were down by 11 with less than 2 minutes left in the game, and we're sitting on the 10-yard line waiting to score a touchdown. So hats off to Justin Drudik.
We're talking to UNK football coach Daryl Morris here on the Doug and Daddy Show. This game also had some big plays for you, against you. You guys had a block kick for a safety, but they also threw a 97-yard touchdown pass on you. Just seems like one of those games where everything was a little strange. Take me through what they did, Lincoln, big time play-wise on you.
Well, you know, we're just not a lucky football team right now. I mean, our punter did a great job. Trevor Vitruva did a great job of kicking the ball. Trevor Vitruva, that's old school. Zuha. And he actually pinned him inside the 5-yard line twice. And then they counter with a 97-yard. They found our true freshman corner and took a shot at him and made the catch. And then we thought, well, he's going to tackle him for about a 30, 35-yard gain and fell off the tackle, and the kid ran for a touchdown. It was actually a pretty nice deal by them. The kid also starts a corner for him that caught that touchdown, so he was a two-way player. And then the next time we pin him inside the 5-yard line, they go 94 yards and six plays and score a touchdown on us in the second half. So, Zuha did a nice job punting the football for us. He's done a nice job since he took over for Tommy Flanagan at that role. But the twice we got him inside the 5, we just weren't able to keep him down in there.
Daryl, we've talked about this a couple of times, but you touched on a little bit. You're down two scores with about 2 minutes to go, and yet this football team, they score, they get a 3-and-out, they march down the football field again. What is it during the week, or what is it during the game that just keeps these guys going?
Well, right now, you know, again, I've talked to you about this before, and Doug, you know this, that right now we're playing for one reason over, and that's for our seniors. And I don't think there's a kid on our football team that's not committed to that. I'm committed to it. We owe it to those guys. We have 14 of them on this football team. We're not going to playoffs. We're not winning a championship. At the end of our last game, we're closing up shop. And there's no other reason to play football other than for our seniors.
Let's talk about a couple of the defensive kids from, again, right here in the backyard. I'm not sure that we've actually specifically talked about Matt Bowman. He went to Kansas State. He comes back up to UNK. He and Kellen Werner kind of led you defensively Saturday.
Yep. You know, they made a lot of plays for us, and both of them from, nearby here. Obviously, Kellen's a Grand Island kid, and Matt Bowman's out of Kearney Catholic, and we were fortunate to get Matt to come back after he went to K-State. And we're going to have to lean on those guys. Those are both underclassmen. They're going to have to be leaders on our defense in the future, and they're going to have to develop and even get better than they are now. But those two guys are going to have to be the cornerstones of our defense for the future in the MIAA.
This week, Southwest Baptist comes in. What can you tell us about them?
Southwest Baptist is a football team that's a little bit different than what Lincoln University was. Now, they beat Lincoln University in their head-to-head competition, but not as exotic, not going to bring as much pressure, kind of line up and play football with you. The front is nothing unusual, nothing different. So I think they're just going to line up and play solid football. They are a little bit smaller than Lincoln was, but you know, maybe not as athletic as Lincoln. It was a pretty athletic football team, but you know, it's not going to be a game where I think the brain is going to be quizzed each time you snap the ball. Offensively for us, it's going to be, can you block them and can you stay on your blocks and can you, you know, get open and catch the football and throw the football and do that kind of stuff. And then defensively, it's just going to be, you know, trying to prevent the big play. And you know, we're stiff on the run for the most part anyway. So I think it's probably going to be defend the pass.
Just another minute here with Loperhead football coach Daryl Morris. I know it's probably the least of your worries, but with an 11 a.m. kickoff, what does that change as far as preparation, as far as the Saturday goes?
Well, it does change a little bit. You know, the kids, they do have to make sure that they eat, and they got to eat 3 hours before the game. And you know, they're normally just now arriving to the Health and Sports Center for a home game about 11 o'clock in the morning when we're playing at 1 or 2. So, you know, it's going to change their schedule a little bit. We're going to talk to them about that at practice this morning and try to get them starting the process of getting prepared to play an earlier ball game.
We've talked about the injuries. Is it settled down? Are we going to have Justin back at quarterback? Ricky Trinidad looks like he's settled back in for you. Tommy looks like he's okay. Is it starting to settle down there?
A little bit. I think we probably did lose our starting left guard for this game. He's got a little bit of a knee injury and some swelling in his knee. So, you know, I don't think Nate Bryan will play for us this week. Other than that, I think we've got a couple of the kids limping around a little bit. Aren't going to be 100%, but they'll be far enough down the road to be able to play.
And Justin starts?
Justin will probably be our starter. We're hoping that Matt Berry will actually show enough progress early this week, starting today in practice, that he might be able to run around a little bit more and let the trainers check him out a little bit more and put him under some stress, check that hamstring out. And hopefully Matt might be able to take some snaps at quarterback as well. But right now, Justin Drewick's our starter.
Finally, Coach Daryl Morris, I guess maybe we were always defending where UNK was and the teams in the RMAC conference, and we see what's going on in the MIAA. Pittsburgh State, the defending national champion, gets beat by Northwest Missouri last week. They tumble to 7, and Colorado State Pueblo, the old RMAC team that was number one last year for a while, is number one again this week. Now that you've been through the MIAA, just your thought on that?
You're not allowed to bet in the NCAA, but if you're not a member of the NCAA in some capacity and those two teams played, I would take the team from Kansas, hands down.
Well, Coach, we'll get up, we'll get breakfast in us, and we'll be at Foster Field Saturday morning. Best of luck in this game.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Coach. Coach Daryl Morris joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's funny how last year and the year before, we're defending the RMAC, yeah, because we're in the RMAC. Heck, yes, we deserve to be there. We're a playoff team. We'll get There is no way that Colorado Pueblo could compete with the top. Now, I'm saying compete. I'm not saying beat. I'm saying compete with a couple, three of these teams in the MIAA. And they're the number one team in the country just because they've only had like one loss in the last 2 years.
Yeah. I'm probably the last guy who's going to stick up for the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. So, I mean, You know, you always hear those guys from the SEC talk about this big boy college football. You know, you always see some guy on there who's yelling at the ref or something. There is not a more truer statement. I put it this way. It would be like somebody from the WAC being number one right now over someone from the SEC. That, I mean, basically, that's what it is in a Division II poll, is someone from the Western Athletic Conference.
You're saying Louisville shouldn't be number one right now, even though they're undefeated? Ohio shouldn't be number one because they're undefeated?
You know what? That's exactly what it would be. It would be Rutgers. Like Ohio being number one. That's what Colorado State Pueblo is in the Division II poll. That would be like Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio from the MAC being number one over Alabama, over Florida, all those schools. That's what he attributes to at the Division II level.
Welcome to the first semifinal here in our 2012 National Football Playoff as the Alabama Crimson Tide get ready to take on the Kansas State Wildcats. Don't forget tonight, should be a great one out there on the West Coast as Ohio takes on Oregon in a high-flying, should be great, can't wait.
Bobcats versus the Ducks.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Can't wait. Coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, I think we're going to get a chance here to talk to Luke Gehringer, the cross-country coach at Kearney High. We've been working on getting that set up, and Luke's available. So we're going to talk to Luke. State cross-country is coming up. We're going to do that next here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Attention homeowners. If your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
How much?
Nobody likes surprise repair charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at Autotech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost a half century of experience to solve most problems. Autotech Specialist is a Napa Auto Care Center. Most repairs are warranted for 12 months or 12,000 miles, and every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Surprised? Now you can take your vehicle to Autotech Specialist at 25th and Avenue I for no surprises. Find out all about ATS on Facebook.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
Sunshine develops today as we climb up to about 80 for a high as winds out of the west-northwest stay at around 10 to 15. For tonight, we'll see developing cloudiness and a slight chance for a shower late with a low at 48. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 64.
When Daddy asked me why I did it, I made him laugh out loud when I told him, 'cause the chicks and dig it.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting ready for lunch? Then check out the Chicken Coop in Grand Island and Kearney, where there's not a bad seat in the house to watch your favorites, whether it's Major League Baseball, football. There is a college football game on tonight. We start getting to those Tuesdays and Wednesdays and something on every single night. And don't forget, sneak in a little early. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday at the Chicken Coop. They've got lunch specials every single day. I actually checked it out yesterday. Monday special, steak sandwich. Very tasty. Very, very tasty.
It does sound good.
Very tasty. It was, check it out, folks. It's just great. That's the Monday special. They've got Tuesday special today, dollar off any salad. Over the weekend, pork tenderloin sandwich on Saturday, chicken fried steak with homemade mashed potatoes and corn on Sunday. Perfect to get you ready for a Sunday of the NFL. And this is Tuesday, so every Tuesday night, it's wing basket night at the Chicken Coop. For just $5, you get a 10 flame broiled wings with your favorite sauce. Can't beat it. The Chicken Coop, Kearney, and Grand Island. Well, coming up on Friday, it's the annual State High School Cross Country Meet at the Kearney Country Club, and the Kearney High Bearcats are going to be right there in the mix. The boys and girls dominating the Class A district at Metal Arc Hills last week. Luke Gehringer is the head coach of the boys program, and he joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Damon Day today. Coach, it looks like it's going to be perfect on Friday to run a little cross country, and it also looks like maybe your team is clicking at the right time. Are they where you want them to be?
Yeah, for sure. We've got a couple more days here just to kind of rest up and be ready to go for that run at the state title on Friday. And so hopefully the weather will hold out. We can't really control that. If it is about 60 degrees, that'll be nice and be conducive to some fast times. So we're ready to run fast either way, though.
Coach, what is the perfect weather for running? Do you want it to be cold? Does you want it to be hot? Is there a perfect kind of weather for a great run?
As far as cross country goes, in about the mid 50s is pretty good. But each kid is different. Some kids like it warmer. But generally speaking, if it's cooler, that's a pretty good deal. So 60 degrees and sunny will be just fine. We'll take that, considering at our conference meet, we're running in a inch and a half of snow and sleet. So we'll be happy to have some sun and 60.
That was at Scott's Bluff, wasn't it?
Yes.
Luke, yeah. Luke Gehrig joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's Kearney High cross country coach. Coach, break it down for me, because I know the wrestlers sometimes get into the tough district, and then there's the weak district. And when you get to Class A, some schools are very good at cross country, and some aren't. You guys dominated the A2, and I know you're good, but what was the level of competition like?
This year, just across the state, there are probably more teams that can field a quality team at the state meet than there have been in the past few years. That being said, we're fortunate that those newer teams, or those teams that are always there, they weren't in our district. Now, Norfolk was, and they're historically a pretty good team. And so to go in there and run as well against them as we did was a good thing. Now, it takes five guys to score, but we're pretty happy that we had four guys beat their first. And so they're not bad, and he's a pretty good runner. So that we kind of based it off of that. As a team, we knew that they just didn't have the firepower in terms of five guys to score. We were just looking to go in there and run as well as we can, and the boys were just one point off of having a perfect score. And anytime you do that at any Class A meet, then it's a pretty good effort by them. So we're pleased with that, and we're ready to go now for Friday.
Coach Damon Day here. The team looks like it's ready to go. How does Tim Smith look heading into the finals?
The thing about Tim Smith is the bigger the race, the better he seems to run. And he's always been that way, and I expect he'll do more of that in this instance at the state meet. And so he will run. He's a top five type kid, and if he gets himself up there in the race, that's where he can finish. And so I fully expect him to run as well as he possibly can on that day.
There's a lot of kids returning medalists that are going to be back here. If I count this right, 9 of the top 15 are back in the meet this year. Where does Tim's time, and where does maybe some of the other times, what are you expecting? If they run like they're supposed to, where will these kids kind of finish for you?
We're hoping to have a lot of guys packed up together, because that's how it's going to have to be for the team that ends up being the state champion, because Lincoln Southwest has a load of guys, and they're all, right about in the 5th place to 20th place range, and which is kind of like our kids. And so what Fremont has is one kid who he might get, in the top 5, but he also might win on any given day. And so they have the big firepower up top, and then they fill it in with some – they're more spread out. They fill it in with some guys that are about comparable to us. They're 2-3 guys, and then they have some guys that are a little behind our last scorers. But us and Southwest are very, very similar in terms of how we hope to finish, and we'll all be packed up, and it might come down to just one kid beating one other kid, and that ends up making the difference between the state champion, the state runner-up, or even third place. So we'll go there and run as well as we possibly can, and hopefully we can come out on top in that effort.
Luke Gehringer with us for just another minute here. Kearney cross country coach on the boys' side. We'll get a comment on the girls in just a second here. But Lincoln Southwest, Fremont, you—that's the way it's. That's your main competition.
So far, Fremont coming into the year, they had the best kids returning, and kind of struggled at the beginning of the year. But they've kind of found their way a little bit towards the end of the season here, and so they will be one in Southwest for sure. We've ran against them a couple times this year, and they'll be right in there. And even Millard West and Creighton Prep are not too bad either. They just don't quite have the depth to that fifth man to make a real run at it. But on any day, you never know. Kids run well, and another kid doesn't, and things can change in a hurry. So
And I know most programs outside of Class A are going to have the same cross-country coach for boys and girls, and I know Pat takes care of the girls, but I'm sure you've seen, and Megan Chagrou, she was also a district champion, and by quite a ways. What's Pat saying about the girls' chances and maybe Megan's chances?
You won't believe me when I say this, but I almost never get to see them run because they run before we do. And so we're doing our stuff, getting ready for our race, and so I hardly ever get to see them run. And so I couldn't tell you where they're at in terms of going into the state. I know that they're one of the better teams, and they've when they went to UNK, they ran up against a Pius team that was pretty good on that day. And so other than that, I don't necessarily know what other teams are.
You mean the girls
are going to be in contention?
The girls don't talk smack to the guys when they get done winning a race.
Well, it's kind of hard to do that when you're breathing so hard. It's a little difficult. Your ambition isn't quite the same as before you start the race. You're just kind of surviving. So no, that doesn't go on.
Well, this is one time, Luke, where I tell the kids, don't be picking up my lost golf balls on Friday. Just get to the finish line.
That'll be for the JV kids. They'll be all over that. So I'll have to straighten them out.
Well, Luke, thanks for taking a little break from lunch to talk with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you Friday with live coverage. Best of luck.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for the time, guys.
You bet. Luke Gehringer joining Doug Duda, Damon Day here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Cross country, again, you put it into that minor sport category because it's not football and volleyball, but Kearney's been very, very good at it for a number of years, and they get to host it here.
You a runner in your day?
Downhill, sometimes.
Don't give me that look. I've never ran.
No, I went out for cross country, but I got lost. and so that wasn't too good.
Yeah.
That wasn't too good. It looked painful. And, you know, as a high school kid with no discipline, when it comes to that kind of stuff, it just looked painful.
I think that their mental toughness is something that I admire and just strangely cannot comprehend the mental toughness it takes to just run.
Well, and they don't just show up and run either.
No. I mean, they're running all the time. You've seen them running around town. I mean, they are running
forever. What's going on? What? It's why am I up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and then there's a pack of runners?
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing to me the mental toughness that they have to be able to do that.
And you just hope everything in their body clicks on Friday because sometimes it's not pretty coming down that chute when you see the wobbly legs and the kids going down. So that's why you don't want it to be too darn hot. So best of luck. We'll start with the first race is at noon, and we'll have updates all afternoon here on ESPN. Before we get out of here, Dustin fires in as he's on the road. If you're going to criticize the hosts of one of the shows that you air here on, and we were making fun of Van Pelt and the Boston accent that he tries, then the undisputed king is Jim Rome. If he isn't on vacation, he'll spend at least 1 hour of his show playing the same audio clip or sound effect 4,000 times. Who can forget his so-called classic, "Give me back my son!" I still want that 30 minutes of my life back. Then you have to love the how he gives himself credit for how hard he works by not taking calls to fill time.
You a Rome fan?
Here's the deal with Romy. I will say, yes, I'm a Rome fan. But there are times like that where he gets on a bit and thinks it's funny for a half hour where I say, this just isn't my deal. There's some real – his show is different because I believe, if you're going to get into that part, the ESPN guys – pretty much are still rehashing the same things, only from a different perspective, from Mike and Mike to Cowherd to Van Pelt to the evening guys. And it changes depending on if there's a breaking story in sports. But Rome, it's a little bit different. And right now, I think Rome probably has the best guest lineup of any of our. Because let's face it, ESPN, since Patrick left, who do they talk to most of the time? They'll get a coach on once in a while, but they're talking to their own ESPN experts about the sports that are going on there.
Oh, I think without a doubt, I love the Rome show. Not from the standpoint of what he brings to it, but if you listen to it on the radio in real time when they're doing it, I love it. I don't like the replay of it because sometimes, you know,
the
stuff's already changed and whatnot. But I agree. I think he gets to the peripheral. I think he brings in some edge type of stuff to it that most, you know, ESPN's not going to hurt their brand, as I always like to say. And they're going to promote their brand throughout it. Whereas Rome, I think that's probably why he left a little bit of the ESPN behind, is he really has the ability to go out and do some things on the edge that are pretty funny and sometimes much more information-based than just promoting something over and over again at their 7 o'clock sports center.
And I probably shouldn't say this since we air it, but there are Rome is way better than his replacements. There's some of those replacements that make me want to shove my head through a plate glass window.
Rome does what I think everybody should do if you have your own radio show. You bring in the worst, so everybody wants you back.
Damon Day here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, if I'm ever here by myself, then you'll know that Doug used that philosophy.
Yeah, you know what we do at the end, usually at the end of every Tuesday show? Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. So call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. We'll ask a trivia question. If you get it right, then a $25 gift card is coming your way. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-3776. Don't forget our Husker lunch tomorrow. We will be at Cunningham's. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, it is Northwestern Nebraska week. It is, that's just big time right there.
As big time.
As big time. Northwestern, 6-1 on the season, 2-1 in the Big Ten Conference. They've played Nebraska how many times?
Twice.
It is not twice. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Bill.
How many times has Nebraska and Northwestern played?
Four.
It is not four. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Troy.
Troy, this is hard to believe. When Nebraska played Northwestern in the Alamo Bowl back in 2000, most Husker fans remember that, Nebraska scored 66 points. That is the highest point total for Nebraska in a bowl game, 66 points. We also had a running back rush for a bowl game record 240 yards in that game. Name that running back.
Man, I'm drawing a blank.
His name was not Seth Blank. No. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who we chatting with?
Matt.
Matt, who was Nebraska's running back who ran for a Husker Bowl game record 240 yards in the Alamo Bowl against Northwestern in 2000.
I don't know.
All right, try back. Was it too hard? Might be too hard.
A little obscure.
Somebody's going to nail this, though. Somebody's going to know this right off the top of their head. Let's see if our next caller knows this right off the top of the head. Nebraska's running back that ran for 240 yards in the Alamo Bowl game was?
Calvin Jones.
Not Calvin Jones. Try back. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Let's stick with it. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who was Nebraska's running back that had 240 yards against Northwestern in the Alamo Bowl? Your guess.
Is it Diedrich?
Not Diedrich. God, that's a good guess. That's a great guess. Darren Diedrich. No. It was not Darren. Great guess. Great guess. I think this guy probably more well-known than Darren Diedrich. That was a good guess. Let's stay with it. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. What's your answer?
Well, he just took mine. That last guy did.
You want to take a stab here?
Oh, God. I don't know. Give me another answer. Your question.
Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia?
Andy.
Who was Nebraska's running back against Northwestern in the Alamo Bowl that set the record with 240 yards?
Was it Dan Alexander?
Boom! Dan Alexander brings home the Troutman's Tuesday Trivia gift card. Did you know that? Did you have to look it up?
I actually knew that.
That a boy. Well, hang on the line. Jeff will get you hooked up here. And what's your prediction for Saturday?
I think Huskers are going to win, but I think it's going to be pretty close.
I think the spread's like 5, so all right. Well, hang on the line, and Jeff will get you taken care of. Thanks for calling. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Nebraska and Northwestern have played 5 times, by the way, so far. And last year, of course, the first conference game, which was painful, just painful for Husker fans. There you go.
Go Yanks. Go Yanks.
Yanks and Tigers tonight here Yankees. On ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 6. Can they come back?
I think so, but it being the way that they've been playing, I wouldn't know. I know that if you are a baseball fan, watch Verlander pitch.
Oh.
That is, if you got a young kid that wants to be a pitcher, have him watch an inning of Verlander.
That's good stuff there.
Yeah.
He's the best in baseball. That's all there is to it.
It is.
You can have Sabathia. You can have the boys on the West Coast. It's Verlander.
It is, in my opinion, it is. I enjoy watching Verlander pitch the most.
Tomorrow, our Loper Lake UNK actually has the men's and women's cross-country athletes of the week. We'll tell you about that. Basketball practice started yesterday at UNK. We'll talk volleyball tomorrow at our Husker lunch on the Loper Link. We'll also have Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report. And Sean Callahan will once again be the guest at Cunningham's. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12 and talking Husker football from 12 to 1. I want to thank Tony Harper and, of course, Daryl Morris for talking a little Hastings and UNK football. Damon Day, have a good one.
Thanks, buddy.
See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.